Well, here we are in the second Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of Peace. And it seems, as it sometimes does, it seems sort of odd that we don't have scripture passages that are very specifically about peace, because we have them. God is interested in peace, and he is referred to as the God of peace here and there, the Prince of Peace. We have peaceful scenes in Revelation where lions and lambs lie down together. We have scenes of reconciliation through the Bible, but we don't seem to have them here, at least not really clearly the way they sometimes are. And so I was thinking about that and wondering, why would we have these kinds of things on the Sunday of Peace? I mean, if nothing else, we have John the Baptist, who brought quite a lot of conflict, actually, with him, as he was declaring something completely new, completely brand new to the Jewish people and then subsequently to the rest of us. And while good things came from it, we didn't exactly begin with peace there. So what might be going on? Well, one of the things that we need to remember is that in a very real sense, peace isn't a corporate kind of thing. We like to think it is. We like to think that nations are at peace with each other. But if the individual people of the nation aren't at peace, there is no peace. And we see that everywhere. We see that in countries that have ostensibly solved their problems with each other, and yet there's still acts of violence, terrorism, because the people haven't been changed. Peace comes from individual people being peaceful, to the point where if the nation decides to declare war on someone else and none of the people go, well, you don't have a war either. Many years ago, G.K. Chesterton received a letter from, I think it was a publisher, and said, "What's wrong with the world?" and asking Chesterton to write an article or some such thing about what's wrong with the world. Well, he subsequently did, but his first response was to send a letter back saying, "I am." And when you think of it, there's a number of things you can sort of take from there. And the first, and this struck me the first time I heard it, when I didn't have any idea what was going on, I thought, well, that's pretty arrogant to say that you are what's wrong with the world. And yet when you think about it, as long as there's a single fallen human being in the world, then the world isn't right. Individuals have that much significance. And so when we think of this, the Sunday of Peace, if there's a single individual who's not at peace, then we don't really have peace. And there's no way for us to get peace except one person at a time. So I find it interesting, the passages of scripture that we have, and the one that I come back to when I think of peace is Philippians, where Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, one of his very strong connections with the churches that he planted. And while he doesn't specifically say peace, what he does say is the kind of thing that is really difficult to do if you aren't at peace. When we go down to basically the third paragraph, depending on your translation and all that, he says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." I'm not sure how you could be that kind of a person, someone who can discern what is best, because he's not saying discerning the difference between good and evil, because really that's easy. Hardly any of us, whether we're in the faith or outside of the faith, mistake evil for good. You know, we do run into people like that occasionally who it just doesn't, but in the main, like the vast majority of people never have a problem between those two. But discerning what is the best. Now that's trickier, because we're needing to choose from a bunch of good things to do. We're not choosing, you know, do we rob the bank or do we just deposit our paychecks or whatever it is. We're not making that choice. We're making a choice that says, of the money we have an endless array, particularly at this time of year, where for most of us, the spirit of generosity is even closer to the surface than usual, and there's opportunities for us to provide funds to an almost endless array of good things. But what's best? Well, if we want to be that kind of person, if we want to be pure and blameless, if we want to be filled with the fruit of righteousness, how do we do that if we're not at peace? And we need to be careful about this, as we do with so many of these things. The difficulty of reading Scripture from a simplistic all-or-nothing way of looking at things is that we will really have two options. One is despair. That's the one that is most common to most people. We look at this and we say, well, if I can't discern what's the best all the time, what's the point? I may as well just give up. If I can't be pure and blameless, and I know I'm not pure and blameless, I'm not even going to try. Because why bother? And that's what most of us do if we fall into the all or nothing thinking. The other, and this is a much smaller group, is denial and says, well, I am pure and blameless, so there. Which, yeah, I can't even say that with a straight face just here. I mean, it's just so ridiculous that anyone would be able to come, where would come to the that sense that says, well, if I can't be, if I'm not 100% awful, then I must be perfect. Well, there's such a range in between. And when I say that, how can we be discerning and pure and blameless and all those things here, and Paul talks about all kinds of other aspects of our personality and of our character in Galatians and other places. If I say, how can we be those things without being at peace? I'm not talking about you being at peace about everything, because I would put it to you that it is impossible for us to be completely at peace in a fallen world. We can be at peace with our family members, and I hope we are. We can be at peace with the people we work with and our neighbors and those we interact with. All of those things, those relationships may be in wonderful shape, and we can be at peace with those. But how can we be at peace knowing that today, thousands of children will die because they don't have access to clean water? Well, we can't be at peace about that. But that's not what we're talking about. In another place in Scripture, we are directed to, as much as it depends upon us to be at peace with all people. We need to realize that even if we leave behind for the moment the rest of the world and those things that are beyond our control that unsettle us in a holy way, in a righteous way, there are people who are around us, or at least the potential always exists for there to be people around us with whom we can't be at peace because they won't let us. And that sounds kind of funny, but it is possible. There are people who, for whatever reason, you simply can't be at peace with. These are the people who, and hopefully none of you have any of these in your life now, and hopefully you never have, but you probably run across someone like this, at least at some point, where it seems like no matter what you do rubs them the wrong way. From saying hello, to asking them to do something that they need to do, that is part of their responsibilities, if they're siblings or family members in some way, of asking them to pass the salt. It just seems to rub them the wrong way, and no matter what you do, it seems to make it worse. Well, the nice thing about our responsibility is that in many real ways, our responsibility ends with us. We can't always take responsibility for other people. Sometimes we do. Small children, when they're under our care, yes, we take responsibility for them in a different way. But on the whole, our responsibility is for us to discharge what God's call is upon us. And so if we are doing everything we can to be at peace with the people around us, that's all we can do. I can no more force you to be at peace with me than I can force someone to love me or to be concerned about me or anything else. It just doesn't work that way. And I remember when I first encountered that bit of scripture that says, as much as it is within you, live at peace with all people. I thought, oh, thank goodness. I thought I somehow had to be something in such a way that no one could ever not be at peace with me. And that's asking a lot. Jesus wasn't at peace with everybody. And he was perfect and pure and blameless. So it probably shouldn't surprise us when we can't be. But on this Sunday of peace, that doesn't relieve us of the responsibility of trying, of being people of peace. Because if we value peace, and we do, Canada has been, not so much in the last few years, but for decades, was known as peacemakers through their work in the UN. And maybe it worked sometimes, and sometimes it didn't, and there were lots of problems with that. But it was something that we could be proud of, that we were working towards peace as best we could. And we need to be peacemakers wherever we are, because until we can be at peace with ourselves, we know for certain that this will not be a world of peace. And there's lots of things that go into that. And some of them are easier than others. I find it quite easy to be at peace with people I've never known or never met, but just momentarily irritated me when I saw them on the news. Or somebody told me a story about some particularly reprehensible person and it made me angry, and then I think, well, I don't know what's going on in their life. I don't know anything about them. I will move on. Well, that's easy. It's a whole lot harder being at peace with the aggravating person who works next to you, or the neighbor three doors down who lets his dandelions go to seed, or whatever it is that you find most sort of instantly irritating. That's a whole lot harder. And it takes a lot more work. Because we have to begin the process by saying, is there anything that we've contributed to this? And then we need to deal with that. And then we need to deal with the person. And often that means talking to them. And sometimes it means bringing up things that we wish we didn't have to talk about. But that's the only way peace happens, is by dealing with what actually is and working towards peace there. But that's not the hardest kind of peace yet. The hardest for many, many, many of us is coming to peace with ourselves. No one here, and that even includes Heather and Neela, who are downstairs, no one in this building knows how many times I have failed, knowing full well that I was failing. No one here knows how many opportunities to do good that I squandered because I was lazy or indifferent than I did. How do we come to peace with those? Well, first of all, we abandon once again here that whole idea of all or nothing thinking. Because this is where despair really lives. If we look back on our past and we think of all the people we've hurt and all the opportunities for good we didn't do and all the rest of it, despair is right there, waiting to jump on us. And a much smaller percentage of people will look at their past and say, well, I'm fine. We need to take a more compassionate view of ourselves to begin with. And we need to look at what we've done, what we didn't do, what we could have done but didn't do. And we need to come to grips with that we might be at peace with ourselves. Sometimes this means going and talking to somebody. sometimes. This means restitution. Sometimes it means asking forgiveness. But sometimes it means forgiving ourselves. Sometimes it means looking back at an earlier stage of our life and saying, you know, I didn't know then what I know now. And what I was like back then was the sum of my life experience at that point. And to suggest that when I was 20, I should know what I know at 50. And then to beat my 20-year-old self up about it, well, I'll never have peace then. Sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. Sometimes we need to let go of the failures of the past. And when we do, that's when we can enjoy peace. Peaceful people are tremendously attractive. They sometimes make us feel guilty. But at the same time, there's just something about people who are at peace with themselves and the world around them that are just attractive, because they have something that we all know we need. And with the pace of life increasing, at least mine is, and I don't imagine anybody else's isn't, with the frenetic world in which we live, which seems to reach a fever pitch starting right about now with Christmas and responsibilities and things to do, people who have that sense of peace about them, you just want to stand next to them and hope it rubs off. We can be those kind of people. We don't have to be perfect to be at peace. We don't have to be ignorant of distressing things in the rest of the world. We can be at peace when we have come to grips with what we have done, with who we are, with our faults, as well as our strengths, and say, this is who I am. This is who God has created me to be, and no, I'm not perfect, no, I'm not pure and blameless, and no, I'm not just filled with the fruit of righteousness, but I'm working towards those things. I see those glimmers in me. Because even though I know my own faults and problems better than everybody else, I can also see God at work within me. We already talked about hope, but peace comes from that sense that this is what I should be doing now. And peace isn't settling. It's not saying, oh, this is the best I'll ever be and I'll just somehow carry on. No, no. Peace is optimistic and hopeful, looks to the future, is well aware of mistakes made and the potential for mistakes to be made. Says the Holy Spirit is within me, that my relationship with God through Jesus is moving me towards being pure and blameless, is moving me towards being filled with these fruits of righteousness. And I can be at peace with myself, with the people around me, and with the world. I can be at peace knowing that a gracious God will do what's right. I can be at peace knowing that Jesus loves me. Peace is a wonderful thing. Sometimes it's hard to achieve, but it is achievable. And as we look at Scripture and as we look at this time of the year and we look at all the things that we could worry about or we could be concerned about, it's okay for us to be at peace, knowing that we have done what we can do and that we're looking forward to whatever it is that comes next. Amen.